You're listening to SBS News.
This week, 23-year-old Hardy Nazari was rescued after being stranded for 2 weeks while bushwalking in New South Wales' Kosciuszko National Park. Unfortunately, scores of people get lost in the Australian bushland every year. So while bushwalking might be a great Australian tradition, survival experts say it's important to be prepared when heading out on a hike. And if you do find yourself in the unfortunate position of being lost in the bush, there's one woman we can certainly rely on for advice, and that's the winner of the inaugural season of Alone Australia in 2023, Gina Chick, who runs nature-based camps as the owner of Wild Heart Australia. I'm Katrina Stewart, and in this episode of Weekend One-on-One, we hear all the top tips for survival from a woman who endured 67 days in Tasmania's wilderness.
What was your reaction when you heard about Hardy's survival? Were you, you know, surprised, or were you quite, you know, impressed by his tactics, I guess?
So it sounds like he's done a whole lot of things right. He's found shelter, which is probably one of the most important things, and he's found water. Without those two elements, he would have been in really deep trouble. It sounds like he's also left clues for the searchers, and I think those things combined meant that he could, you know, survive long enough to be found. And so I'm thrilled, because so often these stories don't end well. But I think that probably one of the main things that's kept him going, and it'll be really interesting as the stories come out from him to hear how he went with this, is the mental game, like his mental strategy. Probably apart from the physical skills, what happens when people get lost in the bush is a very sort of primal panic takes over. And we see highly intelligent people will suddenly just start running with no idea where they're going, in a panic into the bush and get themselves into real strife. Being lost, if you've never been lost, it can be the most discombobulating thing. And it's amazing how much being lost in the bush and just looking around and going, it's all just green and I don't know where I am. It just seems to hit this primal panic place. So it sounds like he's managed that because he's done some very sensible things. I'm going to be very interested to hear his stories when he comes out of hospital or wherever he's being treated.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really interesting that you mentioned that mental resilience. I know this is all speculative at this stage, but how do you think he did calm himself down, or how does one calm themselves down if found in that situation? I know you obviously spent 67 days in the Tassie wilderness, and whilst it was obviously under different circumstances, it is still a very long time to be by yourself in the wilderness. I mean, how does someone stay calm in those situations?
I think it's different for everyone. Like, we all have the point that is our edge. And for one person, it might be just walking barefoot in their front yard. For someone like me, it's 67 days in the wilderness. But when we get to that edge and go over it, we discover parts of ourselves that we didn't know are there. And then we have to draw on our resilience and our ability to be with discomfort. I think one of the most important things for anyone in any high-stress situation in the wilderness is to be able to find that point of discomfort and find a place to be at peace with it, a way to be at peace with discomfort, because we live in a society that pathologizes discomfort. So we think it's wrong. If I'm feeling uncomfortable, there must be something wrong. And that can be when the fear kicks in. So if we have a way that we can go, all right, I'm uncomfortable, I'm cold, I'm wet, I'm hungry, but are these things in themselves going to kill me right now? No. Then maybe I can find some kind of center in that discomfort, and that will calm my nervous system and downregulate it so that I can then start to see what else is available and maybe find solutions for the challenges that I'm in. I suspect that he probably did something like this. I don't know, you know, what that will be for him. But the other thing that I would say is a really vital part of finding that calm place in a lost situation is finding a way to manage fear. Because when fear kicks into our brains, we project into the future. We think, if this, then that. If I don't find a way out, I'm going to die. If I don't find water, I'm going to die. If it's dark, then I'm going to get, even more lost. Whatever it is, we take our situation and we make stories of all of the horrible things that might happen. And when that happens, then our, like I said, our IQ sort of really drops, and our ability to solve challenges is really limited. So if we can find a way to be present in the in what's happening right now without turning it into a whole bunch of, future fears and future stories, that means that we can then see what's in front of us, and in that calmness, start to make the connections of, like, what are the strategies that I can employ to get myself out of this situation? I suspect that this young man has done something along those lines, and I can't wait to find out what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about that mental strength, which sounds like honestly the first thing that you need before you can then actually think about some of the more physical elements that are necessary to survive, I suppose. So I guess apart from having that resilience, what then would someone need to be thinking about, I guess, in terms of surviving for as long as possible? I know he did a couple of key things in terms of shelter and water, and also finding a food source.
Yeah, in the lineages that I've been taught in, the order of survival is you need shelter first, because you're going to die fastest without shelter. Hypothermia can kill you in 3 hours. You need water, because in 3 days without water, your cactus, you're dead. You need fire or warmth, a way of keeping your calories up, a way of keeping yourself warm, again, so you don't get hypothermia. And so fire, but anyway, basically anything in shelter is going to keep you warm. And then food is the very last thing on the list. And it's funny, because people think of food first, and I've heard conversations around out and about, people saying, "Oh my goodness, he went 2 weeks without food." It's amazing how long we can actually survive without food. I think I went for about 3 weeks on alone before I had my first food,
Wow.
although I did get fat on purpose. I did put on 19 kilos on purpose. But yeah, you can survive for a long time without food. And he did find those two muesli bars. I think that they would have been more of a morale boost than anything else. In terms of survival, two muesli bars aren't going to go too far, but they would have made him feel so confident, and it would have been such a relief to find not just the hut, but also some calories. And I reckon that would have done absolute wonders for his state of mind, so he could keep solving those challenges and finding his way. I think another thing that if you're like lost in the bush as well, one of the things that I would probably be doing is looking for clear spaces where I could write, messages in rocks or something bright, so that anyone in an aerial search pattern could see me. I'd be wanting to leave like broken branches and sticks along the way, so that there's a trail for people to follow. It sounds like he left equipment behind on purpose for searchers to find him as well. And yeah, so finding some way to leave breadcrumbs would be a strategy that I'd have. And probably another thing is, in any survival situation, conservation of energy is one of the most important things, because every calorie that we burn is a calorie we need to replace. Every calorie that we burn by shivering, that's another calorie that we've lost. And so the staying calm, staying still, finding ways to conserve energy and wait it out, because it might have been 6 weeks. And so if it was a 6 week wait for him to be rescued, then he really would have needed to sort of hunker down and find ways of being at rest as much as possible while still solving the challenges of survival.
Yeah, and obviously, as you said before, it's a good news story because so often we hear the alternative. But, how likely is it for someone to survive 13 days in the bush in this unexpected situation where you obviously mentioned there can be panic and, they just weren't expecting to find themselves ever in this situation? How likely is it for that to happen?
The likelihood of being found, I think, is a combination of many factors. One is the terrain that someone's lost in, the weather. He was very lucky that it was summer. It would probably have been a very different story if it was winter. Access to water, how easily searchers can get in and find them, how strategic the person who's lost is, how calm they stay, whether they do find food. There are so many different scenarios. Something that is really interesting is that in survival, when children are lost, often they instinctively do things right that adults don't do. So when kids are lost, they will often make a cubby house. They'll often run down a hill, they'll find water, and then they'll make themselves a cubby house or sleep in a pile of leaves. And there are stories and reports of children being found, for quite a long time, whereas an adult might be in winter sitting out in the middle of, in the middle of an exposed area and just frozen to death because they didn't think to make a shelter. It really does. It depends on so many factors. And I'm just so glad that this young man had the presence of mind and the will and the calm presence, from the sound of things, to be quite strategic in his approach. And also there's probably an element of just good old-fashioned luck in that he was found.
Yeah, it definitely sounds that way. And it sounds like he would have had to be very mentally resilient. And I guess just on that, finally, like how important do you think it is for people, particularly in Australia, either visiting or living in Australia, growing up in Australia, to learn about the bush landscape or to learn how to be prepared in these situations? Because interestingly, and I know I was speaking to someone earlier, there seems to be a lot of knowledge about safety in the water, but we don't often hear about safety in the bush, despite Australia being such a rugged and varied landscape.
Yeah, I think, bush lost proofing is something that anyone who's going to go out into the bush should learn. We are so lucky in that we have so many national parks in our country. I remember flying over Europe once years ago and just seeing that it was just, cultivated land as far as I could see. And then I remember coming back to Australia and flying over Australia and seeing these like vast stretches of wilderness area and national parks. It's part of our national identity that we go camping. Aussies go camping, they go bushwalking, they go hiking, they go bird watching. And so there have been quite a few reports recently of hikers having to get rescued in various situations. And I'm hoping that that shines a bit of a spotlight on the need to, if you are going to go out and enjoy our beautiful wilderness, to also have very, basic steps that you can take to keep yourself safe. I get very, I get a bit frustrated when I hear about hikers going out and they don't have a waterproof jacket. They don't have a lighter with them, something that they can light a fire if they get lost. They haven't told anyone where they're going. Hearing about people who, go out when it's a beautiful sunny day and they're going to go climb a mountain. And of course, the weather changes so quickly, and then they get to the top of the mountain and suddenly it's hailing and they've got hypothermia because they haven't brought anything that is going to, keep them warm. Another thing that's really, really important, and a lot of people don't know, is that cotton, when it's wet, stays cold. In survival circles, we call it death fabric, because once you've got cotton wet, then that sticks to your skin and it keeps your temperature down and it can give you hypothermia. So when you're hiking, if you're going out for a day hike, I always say have something that's merino, have something that's wool, have something that's silk, something that is a natural fiber. And even synthetic fibers are going to be better than cotton because, yeah, cotton when it's wet and if you're in a survival situation, it can really get you in trouble. So yeah, things like this, I think, are really important, but hopefully there is more awareness now, and people will start to sort of pay attention, loss proof themselves a bit better, and be a bit more prepared for what can go wrong.
It sounds like there's so many small but very vital steps people can take to protect themselves. And I think the more people know about it, the better. So thank you so much for sharing all your insights with me this
Yeah.
afternoon.
No worries. Thanks for the chat.